The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back to another version, another vision, another mission. It's Mission Minded here is Michael Coleman. Of course, if you're watching this on the YouTube channel, Tony Curry Radio YouTube channel, you can see him on the left side. I'm Tony Curry. It's a show we do every single week about business. And this show has evolved quite a bit. We're going to evolve a little bit more into the social acceptability of the workplace, which I think is going to be kind of juicy. We're going to get a little nitty gritty here. Michael, how you been, brother? Everything good?
Yeah, I've been doing quite well. I'm really interested in this topic because I constantly am butting up into it. And I'm anxious to get into this.
Yeah, FT.com came out with an article late last week, why personal conduct is a growing risk for businesses. And not to read the entire thing, but talks about Bernard Looney, of course, from BP, Show Global Markets, Edward Tilley, Steve Easterbrook, of course, from McDonald's, Jeff Zucker, all had relationships inside their businesses, inside their workplaces, and of course had to bring those to light. And in some cases, it was a good thing. Sometimes it was a bad thing. Departures such as these have made the private behavior of business leaders an increasingly hot topic for corporate boards, raising the question of how closely directors need to scrutinize the personal conduct of their top executives, from workplace relationships, bullying, and inappropriate use of social media to an individual's tax affairs and embellished CVs. You run Heart of Alabama Food Bank. You were just recently up in Chicago with your crew, and it's always great to have a tight-knit crew that you can travel with and certainly work closely together. But when you read this article, what was your initial thoughts?
Well, I had a lot of things flooding through my mind, you know, things that have happened in the past, things that I've encountered, trying to establish a healthy work culture to where you can work. Because, look, let's all face it. When you get the right staff in, and which I've been trying to do now for about 16 months, and I feel like I've got a good leadership team in, we're going to travel together to conferences. We're going to be in intimate workspaces sometimes. And so you have to know what's acceptable and what's not, because especially in our day and time, there's eyes everywhere. In the past, you might do some things behind the curtain and get away with it. But now employees are empowered more with the ability to, you know, file whistleblower reports, file complaints with the EEOC. There's all sorts of mechanisms by which employees have to do that. And the truth of the matter is, we live in a time to where it's more you have to prove your innocence versus they have to prove their guilt. Mm-hmm. And I know where that came out of. For so long, women were saying, "Hey, I'm being abused sexually, or I'm being sexually harassed," and they're like, "Well, you know, that's just he said, she said. You don't have any evidence." And so a lot of people were like, "No, you have to believe the victims." Mm-hmm. And I 100% get that. There's been so many people that have been abused but couldn't prove it or didn't have the power to speak out against those kind of things. But that's just where we are in our day and time.
I think watching The Office is not a person who has not seen The Office with Steve Carell. Realizes that that it is funny because it is so politically incorrect from an office workplace. Right. But I think most of us have worked in an office that is a lot like that. And I would say, certainly in radio, our workplace was a lot like that when I first got in town some 35 years ago. And it is just a totally different animal. What has changed so much over the last 20 to 30 years from the workplaces that we used to have? I remember my dad used to take me to the mechanic. You know, whenever my dad invited me to go to the mechanic, I was so excited because I get to hang with my dad, and he used to go to the garage. And there used to be calendars of the snap tool girls, you know, hanging all over the, you know what I mean? I mean, and that was just a normal thing. I mean, it was just, and you would never see that now in an express oil change because of the workforce policies. But what has changed so much, and how has it changed, and why is it better?
Well, you know, a lot of it is just education and awareness that, you know, when we came from a predominantly male, well, dominated culture and society, it was kind of lots of times a good old boy network, you know, boys will be boys. And I don't think we really understood fully, and maybe in some cases didn't even care, that opportunities were not provided to women, or and lots of times women were looked at as secretaries. You're there to look at them. You're there to serve the needs of the men, just that whole kind of culture. And I think we've come around to seeing the value in women, whether in a leadership position or in a, you know, lower management, whatever it is, we understand that women have the capability, and most companies don't want to thwart women leaders. We need all the great leaders we can be, whether they be men or women. So over time, we've just agreed as a society those things are not acceptable. However, let's just be real with it. Anytime you have men and women together, there's going to be challenges. I mean, we are biological creatures. There's going to be attractions to certain people. There's going to be people, and you've seen this historically as well, that women sometimes can use their sexuality to flirt and move up. And that's, I'm not saying that women have always slept with powerful men, but there's been kind of a two-way system there. And I think that's hurt both people rather than people just being able to stand on their merits and work their way through that. So lots of challenges in the past. We're not done overcoming those challenges. But with the new set of rules and the new culture, you have some new challenges to overcome that you didn't necessarily have to in the past.
How have you seen, Michael Coleman joins us here. He's the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. They cover 35 counties. We also have a show called Bite by Bite, which comes on Tony Curry Radio right after this show. What have you seen change as far as in after COVID, after we started getting back into the workplace? A lot of people obviously enjoyed working from home. Some people didn't. They liked to go to the workplace. They spent more time with their pets, their wives, their husbands, their kids. But a lot of people like being away for 8 or 9 hours a day. In some cases, a lot of people are working with their people inside their office more than actually seeing their mates, particularly if they had to travel. And now we went into this idea that, hey, listen, I want to work from home. And some businesses said, okay, fine, you can work from home maybe once or twice a week. Now they're even pulling back on that because the productivity levels are waning a little bit. But what have you seen the biggest change when it comes to social acceptability just since we've all gotten back into the workplace?
Well, I don't know that I could link it exactly back to that time, but I will tell you, you're more susceptible. The more people are interacting to have conflict. Now that could be sexual related conflict. It could be, it could just be temperamental personalities, all those kind of things. When people are working in the same space, you're going to have more challenges just because we are who we are. And, you know, I wanted to touch on this just for a second. It's part of the dynamic. This has always been one thing that has not changed is the rules are kind of selectively applied. And let me tell you, I go back to, I've seen really good looking men, which obviously me and you can relate to, right?
Absolutely. Sure.
Yes, absolutely. You and I are part of the upper crust in terms of modeling masculinity and whatnot. But I remember that guys with good looks or athletes, you could say something and get away with it. You could make a girl giggle. And if a guy was unattractive or whatever, say the same thing and they would be appalled. Mm-hmm. That doesn't go away in adulthood. That was the way it was back in high school, but that doesn't go away in adulthood. And so what I found is sometimes our standards are very selective, I'll just say. And I'm going to give you a case in point of something that happened recently. So Mel Tucker was offered a $9 million contract with Michigan State to coach football. We all thought, I mean, everybody in their right mind said, here's a guy who's not proven he's a winner. He had one good year. Mm-hmm. They blow up his contract. Then he's been a 500 coach ever since then. They're recognizing, hey, they made a huge mistake. So now they catch wind. And again, I'm not analyzing whether he did or whether he didn't do those things. I don't know. But he says it was a consensual relationship. Yep. Yes, it was. I think it was extramarital, you know, and had those ethics or moral issues. But it was consensual. He did not sexually harass nor rape, as far as I'm aware at this point. But because they wanted him to get out of it, they wanted to have something to get him out of the contract. Now they're using that. Now, you take somebody like Nick Saban. I think Nick Saban's been very – he's never been caught up in a sexual scandal. But I think the standards would be different if you had a winning tradition like Nick Saban. It's one of those things that's either swept under the rug or, you know, kept in the boardroom. And unfortunately, you see that depending on if you're a political figure and you're a powerful political figure – and you feel like your career's on the uprise, mm-hmm. sometimes you get the benefit of the doubt. And sometimes people look the other way. You know, if you just look at Trump, and not to take this politically, but if you just look at Trump, all the things he's admitted to saying about grabbing women in the crotch and doing what you want, and that women actually like that if you're a powerful man. Yeah. Just on and on and on. Those things alone would have killed him as any politician in the past. If you just go back probably 30 years when Gary Hart was a rising senator in Colorado, and he just took a picture with a woman sitting in a bikini on his lap on a boat in Miami, and his career was over. Just that. So you can kind of see culturally, in some ways, we've gotten better. We've become more aware. But in some regards, it's kind of the same old system, that it's a different set of rules depending on who you are.
Now, that knowing that's been happening in the White House for 100 years. And certainly Marilyn Monroe, part of that thing. And certainly the presidents that Bill Clinton also had in the White House.
No doubt.
So that's a big part of it. Something that a lot of businesses do, and this is purely from a liability standpoint, is they have sexual harassment. And this, again, this goes deeper than that, sexual harassment. We're talking about bullying. We're talking about inappropriate use of social media by members. We're just talking about people not being nice to each other, to individuals, tax affairs, and embellished CVs. But these workshops that we all roll our eyes at, these sexual harassment workshops, or how to get along with your fellow worker, do those work? And I'm assuming they are purely from a liability standpoint, so they got a reason to fire you if, in fact, you do something on those videos. I remember, again, I'm in radio, right? And we were all, I can remember, we probably had the tightest group of individuals I've ever worked with when I first got here in 1988. We were all on the same page. I mean, we were having jungle juice in the bathtub back in the boss's office after big ratings parties. I'm here to tell you, it was a lot of fun. But there were a couple of people in our office, including some HR folks, that we knew they were off limits. They weren't into those kind of things. They didn't, sure. and we respected that. And one was very attractive. She would have been easy. We tried, but she didn't. She didn't want to be part of it, and her husband didn't want her to be part of it. But talk about some of the things a workplace can actually do from a liability standpoint to protect themselves from their own employees.
You know, a lot of people do look at the sexual harassment training, and they do, and I get it. They're like, oh, this is just a CYA type thing. But if you build it into the culture, and it usually comes from the top down, which is look, and I'm somebody who, I'm a jokester, I'm a prankster, I'm all those kind of things. But I will tell you, when I was at another organization, one time I took, I just said, hey, let's meet after work. And let's get together, and we're outside of work, and you can have a drink if you want to or whatever. Well, it was a faith-based mission. And so somebody found out, one of my board members found out about it. I didn't really give it much consideration because it all depends on how you view alcohol use. But because it was a faith-based organization, somebody reported that. And, you know, and it was one of those things where I recognized, regardless of where I like it or not, I'm the face of the organization. Mm-hmm. And so I'm out there. I have to set the tone. I have to set the agenda. I have to use a little bit more discretion. Same thing on my Facebook page. The only reason I have a Facebook page is because I share what I think are hilarious memes.
Yeah.
They make me laugh, and I'm just trying to make other people laugh. But again, a board member came to me. She goes, you know, you're the face of the organization. Do you think you should be sharing these kind of memes? And they weren't necessarily inappropriate, but they may be teasing a wife or teasing, you know, just those kind of jokes. And so, again, I reel some of that in for the good of the organization. So going back to the sexual harassment thing, I think it's very important that the leader understands and takes seriously what could happen, you know. But I also don't want to be so stuffed shirt that you can't have a relationship with your coworkers, that it's Mr. Coleman and Mrs. Smith. And I don't want that, because that's not who I am as a person. So when you let, so there's a tendency when you're trying to build a relationship and you're just asking questions, can you ask an inappropriate question without necessarily me? Yes, because everybody's has a different level of sensitivity. And so I can say things like, you know, I know what I can ask on a job interview and what I can't. I can't ask if you're married, if you have kids, because that may be a consideration as to whether I hire you. But I may sit down with an employee and I said, hey, just tell me about yourself. Well, you know, you married, your kids, and all that. And not that anybody's ever complained about that, but those are the kind of questions you're just honestly trying to build relationship within the organization. But you get somebody who either maybe has been approached like that before, maybe, you know, and so they're very sensitive to those kind of questions, and they push back very, very hard. So I think it's very important that, you know, leaders have to be above board. They have to understand they're going to be held to a certain standard, because not only or they have their own lives, but they are the face of that organization. When you look in the nonprofit world, it's all about trust. If they see me on the news doing an article or see me doing a commercial on the news, and they go, look, that guy right there, he's a skirt chaser, or he's a drunk who barely makes it to work, whatever it is, that erodes confidence in our organization. And so that's going back to our original question, which was, why are the board getting all sensitive about this now? Part of it is a CYA thing. You know, liability is a big deal. We live in a very litigious society that loves to sue people. But the truth of the matter is, you want your brand, you're going to put forth the best of your brand. And then if you have a leader in the organization who conflicts with the values you're trying to put forth, and you have that inconsistency, lots of times it prompts boards to move and to remove them, to separate those two things, to show that's not who they are as a company.
Unfortunately, we've seen that in a lot of churches from coast to coast. What was that, Hillsong, where we've had pastors or individuals who are running churches that are having extramarital affairs, and obviously that blows up as well.
Here's the thing. We should not be surprised. Look, men are men and women are women.
Mm-hmm.
We should not be surprised. People have difficult home lives, and they come to work, and now all of a sudden they find a sympathetic ear. And it's not that you're going in looking to be unfaithful to your spouse, but, you know, and it's not that the grass is actually green on the other side. It just feels like it's greener on the other side. And so people end up getting intertwined into these emotional relationships. And next thing you know, they look up and they're talking about, oh, well, I'm thinking about leaving my spouse for this person, or I'm living a double life with this person. And here's the problem, though. Everybody in the organization tends to know about it and gossip about it and see it. And when it's coming from a leadership perspective, nowadays more so than ever, what employees who don't like you or don't like what's going on have a weapon now to hold over your head. And that's another reason boards don't like it, is because you're usurping your authority. You're giving people leverage against you, and you're just not setting the right tone and the right example from a company culture.
In a recent survey, of people who have said or at least admitted they had an extramarital affair. So that, that number could be a little lower than it actually was reported. But 63% said they did it with someone that they worked with, because they are. And we talk about work wives and work husbands, and we talk about, you know, you're actually sharing things with people that you're wanting to vent about your home life. And so those people get to know you very, very well, and probably get to know you as the person that should be sharing these things with your wife or husband at home, but you just don't want to. Let me ask you, you're a very hands-on individual. You've owned businesses. You've run businesses. You're running a fantastic business now in the heart of Alabama Food Bank as a CEO. Where do you stand on scrutinizing relationships that perhaps you feel like are heading down the wrong direction? You obviously, and I've been around your group of people, and I know how close-knit. I know you do like to throw whammies out, and you like to tease each other, and I love that about right, you and the people you work with, and you've done that everywhere you've been. But how much do you scrutinize? And if, in fact, you see something, perhaps someone's having lunch with an individual 3 or 4 days a week, and you're thinking, that's kind of interesting. Maybe they're even coming back a little late, maybe a little disheveled. As a boss, how do you deal with that?
Yeah. So, and I don't know that there's a right answer to this. I will tell you that usually you have a company policy. If the company policy is that coworkers cannot have a relationship, and going back to the office, and you know, Michael and his had one directly with his boss, which regardless, if you're having a relationship with somebody in our organization, it cannot be in your chain of command, and for obvious reasons. Okay. For favoritism, or at least the that's an option, or it looks, any kind of favorable action is going to be made to look like it's favoritism. So that presents an unhealthy culture. But two people who are just working in the organization don't, in and of itself, doesn't violate one of our policies. And we actually have that going on right now. What I have told people in the past is I had a man and a woman come to me and said, and this was a much smaller organization. So they came to me and said that they both wanted to date each other. And I asked this question. I said, okay, you know, hey, I hope you fall in love. I hope you get married. I hope you have lots of kids. I hope there's a happily ever after. But I know the reality of life, and the likelihood is that's not going to happen. So now my question is, what happens in our organization the day after a nasty breakup? And do you know what? I ended up, because there was a breakup, he could not let her go. He began to stalk her, and I had to fire him from the organization because it wow. went so bad. Wow. Now, So I understand people who just say, look, I'm not even going down that path. I'm going to put it in here that if you're working here, there can be no, but I don't really know legally if you can even enforce that or not. You doesn't prevent you from, but you know, you could bring a lawsuit if you were to fire somebody over that reason. But then again, you know, I don't think it's a great idea. Workplace relationships, again, are going to almost always end. And when it does, it's going to disrupt the departments that they're in for a whole host of reasons. And so I try to discourage it at every moment.
I think that, you know, when you're talking about being a CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank, and you're talking about you are held at a higher standard than a normal boss would be, say, a manager at a McDonald's. And certainly we talked about the church standpoint, too. We can throw first responders, police officers, firefighters, sure. We can throw everybody into that. You are held sure. to a higher standard, and that's part of the deal. But outside the sexual aspect of what we've been talking about, and that's the juicy part, talk a little bit about the bullying standpoint, maybe the inappropriate use of social media. You mentioned sometimes, and I've actually put some things, and I'm in radio, for gosh sakes, but I had a radio Twitter, and then I had my personal. And I remember a couple of times my boss would ask me on my personal Twitter, hey, would you mind taking that down? And I was kind of like, well, it's my personal. And of course I did, because I'm a team guy, a team player. And I didn't think anything of it, because I was that crazy wild guy that you know, people follow me because they couldn't wait to see what I'd post next. Obviously I've changed quite a bit over the last few years. But can you talk about any other situations that aren't considered socially acceptable in the workplace and how you deal with that.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about social media for just a second, go a little bit further deep in that, because you'll know during COVID is when we really ramped up the cancel culture and people were going back looking at memes. I mean, memes could have been a meme, but a tweet from 10 years ago, that guy could have been drinking or that woman could have been drinking and said something or shared an idea or whatever. And we're going back and canceling them and firing them out of their job. And look, it's legal to do that in most places. And so you have to be more sensitive. Now, I will tell you, people have been looking at Facebook, employers have for a long, long time. And I will tell you that we do that as well. If somebody's going to be an entry-level employee here, they're not going to be on the news. They're not going to be in the media. They're not going to be representing us outside of the organization. You're much less concerned about those things. But if it's somebody who's going to be the face, then I go out there and if I were to look, let's say I had three applicants and I go out there and look, okay, here's somebody who is where they've got every other picture, they got a can of beer in their hand and, you know, maybe scantily clad or whatever, going out to the club. Hey, it's going to be hot tonight or whatever. That may actually sway my position and people go, well, wait a minute, why are you judging that person? And it's not what you're trying to weigh when you're bringing people into an organization is what is the likelihood that person's going to use good judgment as they are representing your brand. And so when you look at, yes, my personal Facebook, but here I am stumbling out of a bar and people are laughing and I'm cutting up. Again, maybe we've all been there. I'm not judging that person. But if I have somebody there versus somebody that is very discreet with their pictures, may show their family, may show a joke every now and then or just whatever, or them out on a vacation having a good time, I'm like, that person is has a little bit more discretion when it comes to using their Facebook. People have been looking at the Facebook and you make judgments. And since I'm not saying it's right, it's fair. It's not a right or wrong. It's not saying it's fair. But what I'm telling you is that's the world we live in today. And if you put yourself out there on social media a certain way, then what you can't control is how people are going to judge that. And like I said, I've done things that I thought as a person, I've shared a joke or I've shared something that I thought was funny. Maybe a little biting humor wise, maybe right there on the edge or something. And a board member called me and said, hey, I don't think you did. And just like you, I'm not going to push back on it. I'm going to be okay. You know, if you don't think it's appropriate, or if you think it's a problem, I'm going to pull it off. But it's different when you feel like, hey, we've got to cut ties here. We've got to fire this person all based on a tweet from 10 years ago, or all based on a picture. So in some regards, this has gotten so much better because people who are being sexually harassed and who are bullied online, they now have a mechanism where they are empowered to push back and not be a victim. But in some regards, it's the same old system,
yeah,
which is it still happens. Those are good. Those who are good oftentimes can get it swept under the rug. Not always. Those who are not, they're the other guy who, how dare you do this? And in our world, sometimes you can get judged off a moment in time from up to a decade ago. And we just have to operate understanding that's what the rules are.
Coming from two guys in their 50s, I can honestly say that I'm kind of glad social media wasn't around when I was in my 20s and 30s.
I'm glad it wasn't around.
Would I've gotten a lot more followers? Absolutely. Would I have been a bigger star? Perhaps. But there's a reason why that happened a lot later for sure. So great stuff. If you want to check out the article, go to FT.com. You can check it out. It's called Why Personal Conduct is a Growing Risk for Business. Another show we do is called Bite by Bite, and it airs right here on TKR. Get that TKR app, and you can listen to all of the shows. They run at least 5 days a week right here on the Tony Curry Radio platform. And of course, watch us right here. Our numbers on our YouTube channel are just absolutely going through the roof because people actually like to see us talk. And so we hope you enjoy that. You can also watch Bite by Bite. Michael, till next week, thank you so much, sir.
Jordan, brother.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.